In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. A lot of people love botanical gardens and conservatories, especially in a northern climate, and especially when a long winter drags even longer. We took a little outing to Como Conservatory this past week. The moment you set foot inside, you get this overwhelming concentration of nature in full summer mode. I was immediately overwhelmed by color, by scent, by the sounds of water in, believe it or not, liquid form, and by the feeling and smell of humidity. To be surrounded by such lush life that's part of our ancestral DNA, we humans seem to be designed to bask in this environment, perhaps hearkening back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This paradise of nature brought to a northern climate can fill exactly the yearning that many of us start to feel here in late March. Now, if I were to send you to the conservatory in Como Park and ask you to observe every single leaf on every single plant, and I want you to distinguish every scent and notice every petal on every flower, you'd think I was crazy. Nobody would ever be able to come close, not in one visit, not in a lifetime of visits. A person might remember a few specific plants, to be sure. A particular flower or tree or aroma may stand out to me on a particular visit. If I make a second trip, maybe I'll pick out a few different plants or flowers or scents or maybe a new sound. Mostly, though, I'm affected by the overall experience. To let the beauty and the majesty just kind of wash over me, enter my eye, my ears, my lungs, my heart. And most importantly, to let that experience change me for the better. We go there to be changed. We go there to be uplifted. We go there really to be restored. Now, some very similar observations could be made about the liturgical life of the church, particularly during Great Lent. The richness of the Lenten liturgical life, it's like Como Conservatory times seven. The depth and the riches given to us this season are overwhelming. There's so many themes, so many stories, so much atmosphere, and really a sense of holiness. There are almost an infinite number of ways for my soul and my heart to be nourished during Lent. And now if I were to tell you that I want you to remember every last word of every last prayer and every melody of every hymn and every scent of incense and oil and beeswax, it would be just as crazy of an instruction as trying to do the same in a conservatory. It's not possible. In fact, it's not even desirable. It would turn a life-giving season into little more than a cerebral exercise. And it's not possible anyway. Not in a single season of Lent, not in a lifetime of seasons. But the majesty, the encounter with God as a whole, that encounter can still enter my ears and my eye and my lungs and my heart. And I can be changed. And I can be uplifted. And I can be restored. Now, at the conservatory, a few elements usually stand out for a person to become maybe personal favorites, something you particularly notice. Maybe it's the pond with a koi fish, or a particularly tall tree that goes up to the top of the glass dome. Maybe it's the reflecting pool surrounded by flowers. Maybe it's the fountain right smack in the middle. And the same can be said of Great Lent. There may be aspects, prayers, hymns, that just stand out to me in particular for one reason or another. Maybe it's St. Ephrem's prayer, O Lord and Master of my life. Maybe it's the women's trio at Let My Prayer Arise during the pre-sanctified liturgy, or the change in incense or the Lenten and Holy Week melodies. For me, it's St. Basil's anaphora we get on the Sunday liturgies. When we get to Sunday of Zacchaeus, I start to go around saying, ooh, only 5 more weeks till Basil, and 4 more weeks till Basil. Foremost among the elements that stand out this season is the very forward remembrance of the Holy Cross, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Passion of our Lord not only has its place in Holy Week on Good Friday, but references to the cross permeate many hymns throughout Lent. And the cross gets a special remembrance again at today's midpoint of our Lenten journey. I mean, if Lent were a conservatory, the cross would be the tallest tree. The cross would be its reflecting pool. The cross would be the fountain in the very center. The cross is the gift, literally, of eternal life. The cross is the changing of suffering, genuine suffering, into wisdom and into power. The cross of Christ graces you with the ability to take up your own cross or your own crosses in your own life with divine strength, as we heard in the gospel this morning. The cross is the ultimate proof that in our sufferings and even in our failings, God neither forgets us nor turns away from us, but instead launches a divine rescue mission no matter the cost. The cross ultimately means that when our loved ones die, the separation between us and them is temporary, and the separation ends. And like a visit, or even multiple visits to the conservatory, while I'll never remember most details, I will both be restored by the experience and awed by a few particularly profound elements. So in Great Lent, one may never catch every detail, even in a lifetime of Lents. But still, a few may stand out to you in a particular season for a particular reason. But in every Lent, the fountain in the center, the reflecting pool, the tallest tree, the ultimate gift of God's love for you is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen.